Good evening. These past 3 days have been a true blessing. On Tuesday, we are going back home, and we don't think a better way to go home than to be here and enjoy the fellowship with you. Thank you very much. Rosa and I, we are really delighted and very thankful to the Lord for your love, your kindness, your friendship, and thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor, for your friendship, and certainly we have enjoyed every minute. Thank you very much. I would like to just to share with you my last thoughts about the fishers of men in Matthew chapter 4. And if we return back in 5 years, my English will be worse. So enjoy it now. On Sunday, we will be in New York in Spanish church, and I will be able to speak in my own language, which I'm looking forward to. The Lord has many ways to humble you, and certainly is a time for that. But the Bible in Matthew chapter 4, I would like just to take the verse from 23 to 25, and it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manners of sickness and all manners of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those who were lunatics, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And they follow him great multitude of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan." I would like just to have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these moments that we are together, worshiping you, singing songs, opening the scriptures, reading, have some comments. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who dwells in us, who comforts us. Thank you for what you have done for us. And we pray that your blessing will be upon us as we continue our way in this life. May your Son will be glorified in everything we do and say. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. The other day we were talking about he has been conquered by his love. And certainly when we began to talk about the center of our Christian life and to be centered in Christ Jesus, but sometimes we think as we live our lives, we move from that center and we wander like a sheep and goes straight. And we know that the Holy Spirit that dwells in us is calling us all the time to the communion with his Son. We are Christians. He has given us the Holy Spirit who guides us, who illuminates our mind and our reason, who comes to be with us in our emotions so that we will have the understanding of what it's the calling of God in our lives. And when we are in that center, we find the peace of God, the contentment, the joy. And we don't want to be in another place. We want to be in that very center and not move. There has been always one person that has been in the center and never moved. that was Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus was, he lived all his life to do God's will. It was his desire to do God's will. He says in John 6:38, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." He always was living in the very, very, very center, in the relationship with his Father, so that his Father was saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased." And he was saying about his Father, "Always I do what my Father pleases." It was a continual fellowship between the Father and the Son, and never was broken. The theologians sometimes they say, it was broken when he was on the cross. And he said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" But that moment in his life, all the time he was living in the will of the Lord. He was not interested in the temples or in the synagogues or in the system. When he came, he was walking on the water. He said, "I'm not from this world. I do not belong to this world. I have another place. It's the glory that I had with my Father. While I am living here, the only thing I am living is to please my Father. And I have come to bring you to that relationship between my Father and me." God created man to have fellowship with us. So he is saying, "Come to me and have that fellowship." Do you imagine that verse in the Bible that says, "He has loved you like my Father has loved me, with the same kind of love"? How can it be? How can it be that God loves me like he loves his Son? It's out of the mind. It's out of the mind. Yes, but I am loved by God. You are loved by God with the same love that the Father loved for his Son. And Jesus Christ, he was stepping into the world to do God's will always. Even when he went to Gethsemane, "Father," he said, "if I be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The will of the Lord. When we live our Christian lives, we can be in that will of the Lord, but we must be in that center of God's will. I know the will of the Lord for my life. Do you know the will of the Lord for your life? The will of the Lord for your life is just to glorify him in everything you do, in everything you've done, and everything you is your life given to the glory of the Lord. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, the impact of his message was so strong that he shined his light into our darkness. Fill us with hope that overcomes despair, and give us new life that transforms the way we live. There is that way of living, to live just for the Lord. There is a soccer player, I think he is from Ecuador, very, very famous soccer player. And he was internationally known in Europe, in South America too. His father was his first fan. His father, every game the son was playing, the father was there. And he had a very exit as a player. But one day his father passed away. And he quit playing. And the media say, "Why are you just quit playing?" And he is a very good video. I saw it many times, and he said, I'm just quitting playing soccer because the only reason why I play soccer, it was to please my father. He was my fan. And he just quit. And everybody was puzzled. Why are you quitting? He said, the reason why I play soccer, it was to please my father. And now my father is not here. That is not the reason why I am playing soccer. And I thought, oh, I want to live that way. To live a life just to please him. He is the one that calls our attention. Look at what are saying the disciples. The disciples in verse 24 says, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people. What they did is the glory belongs to him, not ours. Everything you do in ministry, serving, and helping others is meant to point to Christ's greatness, not your own. People need Christ, not you. You can walk with them, encourage them, and guide them, but you cannot save them or transform them. You take them and brought them to Jesus. It's what the disciples did. They said, you need to come to Christ. One day I was in Olot City giving gospel tracts. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, putting gospel tracts in the mailboxes. And there was one man. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm putting some information. He said, can you help me? And I said, no. He was really shocked. He said, no, I can't help you. But I know somebody that can help you. I cannot help you. Look at what I can do for you. It's just nothing. But I know somebody that can help you. And he said, come to my home. And I was in his apartment preaching the gospel, pointing Christ Jesus. He is the one. And the disciples, they follow Jesus. They drop the nets and follow the Lord, and the responsibility of them was brought them to Jesus. Brought them to Jesus. And your role is to be an instrument, not the focus. We are just channels, not the source. Clay jars carrying a priceless treasure. The center of people's faith and hope must be Christ, not you. The other day, Rosa and I, we went to a thrift store. And for 50 cents, I bought a tile like that. It was not nice. But where it says it, somebody wrote in that tile, be humble. And I got it for 50 cents. And I said, I'm going to put it in my desk. Thank you, brother, for what you say about me, but I hope you will not be, when you will be old, be like me, brother. Just Christ Jesus. He is the one. He is the one. He's the center. Just keep us humble. He needs to have all the glory for what he is, for what he has done for us. We just brought people to Christ. When they are in despair. When I was in the army many years ago, I went there for 1 year and 3 months. It was required for the Spanish people to go to the army. And when they put me in the police department, the military police, and they told me there are not doors. The doors are always open or closed. But you can open and just enter. You don't knock the door. You just go there. But before you go there, you open and you need to see who is the highest ranking officer. And when you open, you just look who is the highest ranking officer. And you find him and say, and you just permission, sir? And he said, yes. Who is the ranking of our, the highest ranking officers? Jesus. He's the one that we look for. And we just take people and brought them to him. There was a man who came to our church. His name is Israel. One day he called me. He saw the big board and billboards, and he just called me and said, I would like to talk with you. So he came, and he told me that he had an experience with God. And I went through the Bible, and I preached to him, and he got saved. And that man has brought so much joy. But he is always looking for reference. And we are just trying out of, not to us. No, look to Christ. And he is having that sense of, where is he? I'm looking for the Lord. He is our reference. The disciples brought them to Jesus and brought all sick people. There were four kinds of people that they brought. Look at the description. It says the sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatics, and those that had the palsy. Four kinds of people. Physical suffering, spiritual bondage, mental and emotional torments, and helplessness and paralysis. All kinds of people. I remember coming to the States, and I was really shocked when I saw a young man with a t-shirt that says, if I am broken, do not fix me. I thought, who wants to be broken and not to be fixed? I know somebody that can fix your life. He can put your hands upon you and heal you. At that moment when Christ came, Satan was in his very strong influence. There are three ways that you can see Satan working. You can see the influence of Satan. You can see the oppression and the possession of Satan. There was one time in history when Satan entered into a man who was Judas Iscariot. He now had any remedy for that. But the other ones, yes, the Lord healed the sick. The Lord healed the possessed and the demonic people, the lunatics and the palsy. And you can find those people say, who hath healed you? And they say, his name is Jesus. There were some people coming to my life that they told me about Jesus, and they throw me the net, and they just cut me and brought me to the Lord. And it was wonderful that the verse in verse 24, at the end, he says, and he healed them. What? It could be something to think. The pain, the compassion that Jesus had when he saw just people, broken people, with disease, what sin has done in their lives. He was looking to the people and he was filled with compassion. Oh, what sin has done to men. You remember the Lord saying to Adam, Adam, where art thou? What have you done? Look at what's happening to your life. But he provided for him a Savior, like he has provided for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 25, it says, and they follow him. They brought them to Jesus, but it was the responsibility of them to follow Jesus. This is really very interesting, because they follow Jesus, a great multitude from Galilee, Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and beyond Jordan. What an influence. I just was trying to know how much And it was like 50 miles, the influence. They were listening about Jesus, and they brought people from all parts of the area. And the people make the decision, and they follow him. When we will arrive to heaven, the promise of God has been fulfilled. You remember what it says to Abraham, look up the skies. Can you count the stars of the sky? Look at the sand of the seashore. This will be my people. Just the cross brought so many people. And when we'll arrive to heaven, we will be like the stars in the sand, just brought all of them by only the love of God in Christ Jesus. And it's our responsibility just to take them and brought them to Jesus. In our pulpit in Olot, I made a sign that I have seen also here in the States. We want to see Jesus. So that every preacher that will come will say, we want to see Jesus. He is the one that for him is all glory, all power. And we must go on just bringing people to the Lord. The power of the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Anyone that will come to the circle of my life, I am a debtor to preach the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. What is the hope for this world? The cross, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must follow him and calling people to follow the Lord. It's like saying, son, follow the Lord. Take your cross, be humble, obedient, and just follow the Lord. It was many years, it was the first year that I was in the church here in North Hills. They had a missionary conference, it was 27 years ago. We were in the fellowship hall, and there was a man, I don't remember his name, I think he was a pastor, but I talked to him and I said, please, will you give me an advice on a young man who is going to the ministry? And he said, yes, I'm going to give you an advice with a poem of 3 stanzas. And I thought, okay. He said, first stanza, keep on and on and on and on, keep on and on and on. Second stanza, keep on and on and on and on and on. Third stanza, keep on and on and on, keep on and on and on. And I thought, this is the best poem I heard. Keep on. Keep on what? To be in Christ, to be in the Bible, to live my Christian life with joy, with expectancy, looking to heaven and saying to everybody that comes toward the influence of my life, come to Jesus Christ. He can heal you, forgive you of your sin, give you a new nature, and put your heart in heaven, that when you will die, you will be with him and you will see his glory. Just keep on. And if I will give you an advice, I will give it in 3 stanzas. Keep on. Second, keep on. Third, keep on. Looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. He deserves all the glory. He's our Lord of Lords. And we love him. We love the Lord because he has loved us. And he has forgiven us of our sins. And we just live with expectancy and happiness and joy. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in us and we want to be with him. Lord, I don't know where you are going to go, but I will follow you. We love you. Our Lord, our love is feeble, sometimes confusing, but we know in our hearts that we love you, Lord, and we want to follow you wherever you will lead us in life. And the ones that are with me, I will tell them the same. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by his love and grace. May the Lord keep us strong in these last days, lifting up the Son, that he has done the will of the Father, and we are under his authority, fishing men to bring them to Christ, so he will put his hands upon them and heal them, especially heal them from their sins and giving them new life in Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you strong in these last days. Thank you very much.